Welcome to Sexy in Van City on 101.9 FM CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you might become one of our podcast listeners since this is our very first show. But however you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. This show is all about everything and anything and whatever that is sexy in Van City. I'm Caroline McGillivray, your host. And I am excited to have a very special guest with us tonight, Miss Emmy Rogers. If you've never heard of sexyinvancity.com, you're going to find out a little bit about that tonight. Emmy is one of the original Sexy in Van City gals who has now launched her own website, which is emmyrogers.com, which I can't believe I just made a mistake like that as soon as we got on air. But welcome, Emmy.
Thank you for having me today, Carolyn. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm very excited that you let us use the name Sexy in Van City for the show.
Oh, well, Sexy in Van City is very much Kidden's now, so it's Kidden that you have to thank.
Well, I will thank her. I wish she gave us a little bit of a heads up in terms of research tonight, but all three of you gals are absolutely fantastic. You, Lola May, Kidden, it's quite exciting.
Well, I had a lot of fun creating Sexy in Van City with Lola May and Kidden. They're two amazing women.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the site and what it is exactly? What is Sexy in Van City?
Sexy in Van City. Originally, it was designed and it was created to be a blog for women. It was a blog for three women that have three different stories to tell. And as women, we'd sort of discovered in talking with each other that we all had these mortifyingly embarrassing moments in life and things that we thought just happened to us until we actually started talking about them. And when we started talking about them, we realized the things that we thought was just these quirks in our own life actually happens to many women. And that by talking about them, you became less insecure around them, but you also got insights into how other women who had already been through a lot of similar types of things had dealt with those moments mm-hmm. in their lives. And through the process, one of the exciting things that we discovered was that it wasn't just women that we ended up speaking to. We ended up speaking to a lot of men in and around not just Van City but the world. And we recognized the fact that we were making them feel like sexy devils as well as the women. And I think that was one of the most rewarding things for myself in writing on Sexy in Van City was the fact of how wonderful and how sexy we made other people feel.
I think that's really empowering, and I love the fact there was three different people. There's Kitten, who officially is like the little sex kitten. There's you, who has been dubbed the Carrie Bradshaw of Van City, basically, by Gillian Shaw in the Vancouver Sun, which is pretty exciting, and US Today, which is pretty cool. And we've got Lola May, who has a child, and just adapting in terms of just finding her sexuality, again, and just re-embracing all that, and trying to find time for herself amongst... basically being a mom. And it's pretty cool, three totally different women.
Well, that was the other exciting part for me. Mm-hmm. The other exciting part was that we were three gals that were approaching life from three very different viewpoints, and mm-hmm. we didn't always agree, and we still don't always agree, but that was part of the beauty, because I think each of us spoke to different female voices and different things that we go through at different stages in our life. And I think that's part of what made the conversation so rich.
Hmm. No, I agree with that. And Julie and I, as you know, we're fans. I'm lucky enough to have Kitten as a cousin, so I see her a lot. So with that, it's pretty exciting with that. I would have liked to have had her on the show. One of these days we'll get her over that whole shy thing and perhaps might actually get her on. Do you think you might be able to pin her down with me?
Or
would she like that too much?
You've definitely got, well, I mean, of course you've got her pegged to be your cousin.
Yeah, it runs in the family.
I'm sure you could talk her into being on the show. She's shy at first, but once she embraces something, then she's the furthest thing from shy. So I just warn you of that, because you might be unleashing a big can of worms once you invite her onto the show.
Well, if that cat comes out to play, meow.
Exactly.
It could be quite scary. And Lola actually said that she wanted to come on the show as well. So that was really exciting. So I was hoping it was just a matter of if we could do it as a call-in, which I like to actually have her in the studio. So I'm going to see if I can bring her on at some point. She's going to be doing a couple more photo shoots with the girls, and actually possibly me, which I was quite excited about.
Oh, wow.
For listeners out there, if you get a chance to check out the website, sexyinvancity.com or Flickr, because...
Yeah, on Flickr, look under Lola May's Flickr stream, because she's an incredibly talented photographer. And I know for myself and also for Kitten, she's taken some incredible mm-hmm. photos of us. And I feel incredibly fortunate to have had such a good photographer, and a photographer that you could trust. Like, you knew she was going to be responsible and professional about what got posted. Any of you that live over in East Vancouver too, she has this whole East Van collection of graffiti photos and sort of moments from East Vancouver, and they're pretty creative and they're pretty wonderful, so you should definitely go check that out.
Definitely. And speaking of photos, perhaps that will get us into what we're talking about tonight. I just wanted to start off the show just by thanking you guys. You ladies are absolutely fantastic. And with that, we're going to be talking a little bit about online dating, a little bit about online addiction, and social media, and how you can use that to spice up your sex life and your love life. So I want to start off with just online dating. You've done some online dating, have you not? Because you have definitely blogged about it.
I haven't actually blogged about it as much as I know Lola wants me to blog about it.
No kissing and telling?
I'm the romantic at heart.
Okay.
And so being the romantic at heart, I was dead set against online dating for the longest of times. And I, you know, Lola had actually tried to talk me in, well, she'd sort of subtly suggested it on a few occasions.
She meet her husband online?
She did indeed.
Okay,
she very much met him online, and he's a wonderful fellow.
Mm-hmm.
So she had tried to encourage me to do it, but between having attracted a few stalkers in my past and also being this hopeless romantic that just sort of naturally thought that she'd just run into her Prince Charming one day, I was avoiding. And finally, for an article I was writing, I thought, you know, I can't sit there and ask our readers to write in with their experiences if I'm not actually trying it myself. So I did do what I decided would just be a weekend research project that has now not quite a year that it's lasted, but has gone on to close to a year now.
And so what did you discover?
I was amazed. I was impressed. I wasn't sure what to expect with the types of men that I'd meet there. And I've been meeting some really, really lovely men online, and some sophisticated and intelligent guys. I think I probably do it in a slightly different manner than most women. I don't put up my photo right away, which I know. And I specifically chose a site to go on that sort of acted more like a matchmaking service rather than just surfing through people's photos.
Did you use eHarmony, perhaps?
I did indeed.
Okay, because that one's a nice one where it actually matches you up in regards to all those personality tests
and value systems. Yeah, and for me, really, the important thing with meeting somebody, and it's part of the reason why I was kind of against online dating initially, is because I'd seen some of my friends site, like, you know, look through Lava Life with them with Plenty of Fish and things like that. And I've seen that they were just scanning through photos, and they were scanning for the hot looking, it was always guys that I was hanging out with. So they were scanning for the hot looking babe or whatever. And I don't want a guy that's attracted to me for the way I look. I want a guy that's attracted to me because of my personality.
May I say something about that? They've actually done studies where people decide whether or not they like you within the first 10 seconds they lay eyes on you. After that, you're either attracted to somebody or you're not. This is in person. After that, the value system and everything else will come through, but it's usually because of procreation.
So,
because if you're not attracted to somebody, it's not that you can't be with somebody that you're not attracted to. It's just genetically you may not have a healthy baby.
But so I look at you can be out at a pub or you know, someplace like that, and I might see the most gorgeous guy, and I talk to him, and he has nothing upstairs. That changes the way he looks for me. And a fellow that I might not be as attracted to initially, when I look at him physically, and he starts to talk, and he starts to talk about his dreams or his ambitions, or you know, we might have an argument on politics or something like that, and when I start listening to him talk and I start getting enraptured and pulled into his story and am fascinated by what he has to say, his appearance changes to me.
I think that's with most people once you get to know them, but there is biological reasons why you're attracted to some people and why you're not attracted to other people. But I'd say, am I assuming this, that you don't judge a book by their cover?
No, I don't. Not at all.
You take the time to read it.
I don't understand, and I don't get the girls that go out to the bars or to the nightclub and sit there and say, ooh, I'd like him and ooh, yeah, I'm going to take him home tonight. And there are girls that do that. I've sat there with them before, and I don't get that. I don't understand that. I can't be attracted to somebody until I've spoken with them.
I think it depends on what somebody's looking for, because I've done the same thing where I've sat with the girls who do like to do that. But at the same time, it depends whether they've just gotten out of a relationship and perhaps they want to play. And one of the things with online dating is it usually asks you right off the bat, depending which side it is, what are you looking for? Are you looking for long term? Are you looking just to date casually? Or are you looking for an intimate encounter? And I'm talking more about Lava Life and Plenty of Fish in that regard. But if you kind of know what you want, because there's no point spending a lot of time, even if somebody does sometimes go in with the intimate encounter, if that's kind of what they want, it's perhaps not the best thing in terms of them for looking into people who want a long-term relationship, unless it happens to be where if it's a face-to-face meeting immediately and there's that attraction, because I think most people are open to things. It's just if it's the right person, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, but I also know that that's not how it works for me personally.
Okay.
I know I'm a little bit different than most people, but I don't think I'm all that much different. Like I think there are other girls out there like me, mm-hmm. and I think there are men out there like me too. I've actually been told that some guys have contacted me because of the fact I don't put up a photo for initially. It actually makes it me, and I know not for all of them. I know plenty of them click on the fact of, closed with me and say that it's because I haven't put up a photo. I don't put up a photo for other reasons, too. I work in a couple of very gossipy communities, and mm-hmm. I don't need to have all of, as I say this on radio, I don't need to have all over the different communities, that I'm on an internet dating site and all my details of my, hidden desires and everything like that. I don't need that out there for my work colleagues. As I say this over a radio station.
Well, they might recognize your voice, Emmy, but you never know. But with it, it's that you should do advise most of the experts that you should put a photo up. But I understand and respect the fact that you don't. And I think it's interesting where it almost sounds like it's going into that whole, the caveman instinct where they want to actually go and find out about the mystery girl.
Well,
take the time to get to know you a little bit because they're curious.
And I have had that with certainly, and that was actually the case with the first guy that I was in communication with on eHarmony. But I also know that they can request to see my photo, and if they mm-hmm. request and they don't work in one of the industries in which I work in, that I'll fire it up for them. And it's not even a quick case of firing it up; it's just making it available to them. I also know that if there's if I start communicating with somebody and I'll also put it up then. And if there's a fellow that I see that I'm interested in, and I want to contact him, then I'll fire my photo up as well.
Okay. So you'll fire it in terms of sending it in terms of an email so that the rest of the site can't see
it? The way eHarmony works is you can make your photo available to specific
people.
People.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like having a backstage pass, like Lava Life. Okay.
And so my particular account doesn't show you other people my photo unless I make it available to them.
Nice.
Yeah. And, I've certainly had no shortage of dates by doing that. So, and with really, really lovely, lovely men. So...
Has dating online changed how you meet people in general, like when you meet men face-to-face? Because you're a pretty girl. I'm sure you meet lots of guys face-to-face as well.
Yeah, my problem, though, is that the guys I'm meeting face-to-face are the guys I work with. They're guys from my immediate community, and the guys that I'm immediately interacting with work-wise, or and that's not to say that there's times where, yes, I am attracted to people that I work with, but... Mm-hmm. All in all, I kind of want to be, I find it more interesting to date somebody who does something different from me because, mm-hmm. The conversation's more stimulating. It's not what I'm doing work-wise all day. And there's then no competition between us. And I'm not going to hide the fact that I have a brain.
you shouldn't have to hide the fact that you have a brain.
And sometimes when I
sexy.
Sometimes when I've worked when I've worked in fields where the guys worked in too, sometimes, you know, I've moved up faster than they have, and I don't want to make, you know, whoever I'm with feel insecure.
Wow.
It's I'm being honest.
No, I know.
It sounds completely nice. Egotistical, but I'm being honest.
So what advice would you give someone who is setting up a profile online?
The photos are important. And so even though I say I don't put mine up right away, I think it is important, the image that you portray of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the image I portray of myself, you know what it is that the guys are attracted to you because of. I know with me, it's my eyes and it's my smile. And so those are two things. I pick photos that, you know, show off my mm-hmm. eyes and my smile. That said, I mean, if it's your certain curves in your body or things like that, I wouldn't flaunt them in a, you know, less is more. Less is more.
Well, there's different ways you can flaunt those curves. You could be wearing just a really nice dress, and you could be in,
exactly.
You could be in an evening gown, perhaps. And I think it's kind of like acting in terms of what you pick on. My Sexy and Van City Radio tips would be, number one, in terms of your pictures, A, making sure they're ones that actually look like you. So they're not mm-hmm. ones from, like, say, 10 years ago where, you know, if you have gray hair now, that your hair was your natural color originally. Even though it's a natural color now, it's different than what it looked like in the photo. So A, making sure your photos look like you. Smiling shots so they can see what you look like when you're happy.
Yeah.
One, perhaps when you're not smiling, so they can just see what you're like. In a background that is kind of like your own background. Like, so say you're an outdoors kind of gal, maybe in hiking boots and that sort of thing. Or if you're somebody who likes to go to the ballet all the time, maybe a pick, you know, somebody who you're dressed up in those outfits, so a leotard or whatever, and your point shoes, if that's something that makes you really comfortable because that's how you spend your time. Just things that really establish your lifestyle. And in terms of that, so if you tick off that you are athletic, that, yeah, you are in hiking stuff, you are in your ballet stuff, but things that aren't necessarily, maybe not the bikini shot where it looks like you're on, what's that show called? America Girls Gone Wild or whatever.
Well, I think it's also trying too hard and trying in the wrong way. I mean, you're sending out the wrong message if you're up there in your lingerie and stuff like that. I think you're sending out that you said I could swear on the show.
Yes, you can swear.
That you're a good fuck. Which, you know, is maybe something you want to show them a little later on, but I don't really think that's at least for me. I mean, I went on for research in the first place, but I stayed on because I was meeting nice men to date, mm-hmm. and I'm dating them with the idea in mind that I'm dating them not because I'm having trouble getting laid, for lack of a better word. I'm selective about that, by the way, just in case there's anybody I know listening. That was not an invitation. I'm very selective.
We'll see what our tweets are like after the show. On that note, other things I wanted to suggest in terms of what you have. So we've obviously, the photos are important, what you're choosing for that. Other things that are important is writing like you talk. So then that way people get a real sense of who you are, your personality, talking about your interests, things like that, without giving too much geographical, in case you do have a tendency to attract stalkers. You want to make sure that if you're talking about things, like say you like going horseback riding, you don't say you like going to the flats at Southlands, for example, being really specific about that. Or say you dance at Harbor Dance Center, as an example, again, like where it's not like every Sunday I can't miss Pam's jazz class or whatever. Or you like taking the blowjob workshops at the Art of Loving, you know. There's certain things you can choose what you want, but keep it a little bit ambiguous in terms of that. So they get who you are. They understand your lifestyle. So write like how you talk. Other things that are really good is updating your photo and your profile daily. because that comes up under new listings each time. So when somebody goes on to search, you come up first. So it's great.
Oh.
It's just a subtle one, but and it could be as simple as just changing a word. Could be if, like you, because you're a story writer as well, where you could even change a little bit about it each time so people have a reason to keep coming back to your profile. It's like building a blog. So very similar in that sense, which is important. Other thing, of course, is it's hard work finding somebody that you care about, so you have to be open to that possibility. So while you show up under new listings, it's important for us to check the new listings as well to see what else is there. What I would recommend for people who do have the instant messaging thing on there is turn it off, especially if you're female. Females tend to get inundated if you do have photos up there and you don't have them as a pass that you can tick off when you find somebody that you're interested in. I recommend with that just turning off the instant messenger so you don't get inundated with things where you end up just dumping and just hitting delete, delete, delete because you're inundated with so many of them.
Well, and these are a few of the reasons too why I personally like eHarmony is I don't get inundated with that. I started discovering the last few months that Facebook has becoming, at least I've been discovering that people seem to be using it more as a dating, online dating site these days. And I was getting instant messaged all the time. Mm-hmm. And every single time I'd show up to check a message or two on my Facebook account, it was like nonstop, you know, men showing up on my instant messenger. And that drove me nuts. And they weren't necessarily people I wanted to talk to at the time. I was usually going on there for the reason of replying to some business emails. So, yeah, I've totally turned that off. And on that note, gentlemen out there, sending girls things on Facebook about owning them or different Facebook applications that suggest sexually deviant acts.
Are we talking about strangers?
Yes. Yes, we're talking about strangers. Yes. Yes, that's a good way to have me block you on Facebook.
I think that's a good way to have most women block you on Facebook. I understand if it's a friend and it's a joke where it's somebody you know really well and the humor is quite strong. In terms of Facebook, it's one of those things that apparently that Facebook users worldwide spend 3 billion minutes each day on that website. 3 billion, according to AskMen.com. I pulled that up this afternoon, and it's quickly becoming one of the number one social networking sites. One of the things I did want to touch in terms of Facebook is there is a lot of times when I'm out, a lot of times guys will ask instead of phone number, it's like, oh, I'll look you up on Facebook. And that happens a lot. And when I was doing some research for the show tonight, I found it interesting that a lot of young ladies, especially from the 20 to 25-year-old category, really, really thought it was better to give some add them as a friend on Facebook. And personally, I don't think that that's the healthiest thing in the world right away. I don't think you should add them. In regards to these people sending all these applications and stuff, my curiosity, Emmy, with you is how high are your privacy settings? Because I'd almost recommend that your privacy settings should be higher. I understand because of the fact you're trying to, because people read your blog and stuff, you want to have it open. But at the same time, I'm wondering if there's something that you can go in there and take a look at that.
Well, and these are part of the reasons why I do get that is my social networking profiles are very open and they're very open on purpose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but as a result, like, and this, these are one of the things that a lot of, like, you know, teenagers and early 20-year-olds just don't get is they don't get, that the people you add as friends, unless you change security settings for certain people,
mm-hmm.
every single thing that you post, they can see. And so they get to know a lot more on a place like Facebook anyhow. So they get to know a lot more about your life than if you're using it as a dating site, then you might want a new, an a new boyfriend or girlfriend to see about your life.
Well, it's like what you said earlier in terms of trying to let them get to know you a little bit at a time. Like, instead of just the bikini shots, I mean, you never know. You might be out drinking your face off at a party one night, and the next thing you know, somebody's tagged you in a photo, and that shows up. So it is really important to go through. If you do decide to add them, I'm just going to give you give some quick tips before we break. But one, it's really important to define whether or not it's a date worthy interest. Like, if they ask you to go for coffee, for example, like say somebody's met you, they add you on Facebook, and you start chatting to them back and forth. Sometimes it's really hard to gauge, is it a friendship or is this actually a date? And sometimes you have to go out with them and hang out with them a few times before you figure that out. So that's number one. So that makes it a little bit more challenging as opposed to the classic where they call you, and because you can read a little bit more in terms with the voice, the intonations and everything else, as opposed to this just going back and forth. Whereas when it's on a traditional dating site, you know that they're interested in dating you. So that's number one. Number two, how much do you really want to know about you, which we've touched on this before you add them, because it's a difficult to let us know them slowly when they're with seeing everything. It's kind of like we want to let them the man be the man, where he gets to be the caveman who gets to drag you back to his cave. He kind of wants that, and why not let him have that? So by giving him everything out there, all your interests, getting to see all your friends, all of this stuff, getting to watch you chat back and forth and flirt with people sometimes on the wall, all your walls on Facebook and things like that. Do we really want that right away? Three, personal information. It can be used against you. During the honeymoon of the period, people always try and impress each other. And for example, I've had guys tell me that, oh, I'm really into dance because they saw it on Facebook or something like that. And they build themselves up. So I end up falling in deep like with somebody who's not really like that, because of the fact they wanted so badly to impress me. They told me they were into things and did a little bit of research before they went out because they really wanted to make this work. And a few months down the road, when the honeymoon period's over, get to find out, oh, well, I'm not really into that. I was just saying that because I wanted you to like me. And women do the same thing. I can remember doing that as I was a kid, but even more so with Facebook and social networking sites where you can see these things quickly. And also four, just remembering that they did have a life before you. So if you see them online, sometimes especially Facebook chat, and it's like, why hasn't he called me today? Why hasn't he called me today? And getting really frustrated because you can see they're there, and having to remember, if you're adding somebody on Facebook, you can see what they're like. And it's really hard to resist that whole stalking factor.
Yeah,
it's important.
I have to say with that one, the gentleman that I've been dating since I guess, April last year, none of them had any of,
codes?
Well, I guess I'm fairly easy to find online, but they didn't have my last name for the longest time. so they, they couldn't see a lot of that stuff, which I thought was, I preferred, because, you can get to know each other a bit more organically. Mm-hmm. The other flip side of that, too, is I didn't have, because let's face it, most people have larger security settings on their social networking sites than me. And so I didn't have access to their Facebook or things like that. And so I wasn't sitting there and checking, when you're in that, mind you, with none of these guys, I've really been in that zone of insecurity with, but when you are in that zone of insecurity, and we've all been there, it's so, so easy to sit there and start looking through what, oh my goodness, they've replied to such and such's email and such and such's email and such and such's email on places like, I'm not a fan of Facebook these days, but they do, you'll do that on Facebook. And then you're sitting there going, well, why hasn't he picked up the phone and called me yet? And
it's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we're going to take a quick short break. When we get back, we're going to chat about how you can use social media to spice up your sex life and online addiction, including cyber sex addiction and Facebook cheating. All this and more. Right now, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio with Caroline McGillivray, chatting to one of the original Sexy in Van City gals, Ms. Emmy Rogers. We will be right back in just a moment.
Thank you. CITR, this is DJ Betty Ford here to tell you that your favorite Tuesday night DJs have moved to Republic. Join myself and Trevor Risk in the main room as we conduct a balls-out assault on the dance floor. Or get it on the patio to a rotating crew of selectors, including CITR DJs and other famous people. We'll be mashing the latest tracks with all your favorite classics. And we'll have those trademark drink specials and cheap cover that you've been loving all these years. Plus, you can bring in your friend of CITR card or CITR membership card for free cover for you and a guest before midnight. Only at Full Tilt Tuesdays at Republic, 958 Granville Street at Nelson. Full Tilt Tuesdays, manic weeknight hysteria from the original Tuesday Night Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. And we are back in the box. I have to thank our music director, Luke Meat, who has been absolutely sensational and helped me, because when I came in to record those the other day, I couldn't figure out. I was very technically challenged trying to get the volume up, so he kicked that up and made me sound even sexier than I already do, which I love that. So, listeners, if you're just joining us right now, you've landed in Sexy in Van City Radio. It's Caroline McGillivray, and I'm here tonight with special guest Emmy Rogers from emmyrogers.com and formerly of sexyinvancity.com. Welcome back. Welcome.
I'm just laughing right now at the fact that we may be discussing adult content tonight.
Are you?
With the sexy voice there of Caroline.
Well, I think it's really, really important. And before I forget, in terms of adult content, I just wanted to say Esquivel, and it was the song Miniskirt, which I thought was quite cute at the break. You can tweet me if you like the song, because I need to find a theme song. The song that we played earlier at the very, very beginning, top of the hour, was called Sexy Girls, but I'm trying to figure out what the band is called. I think it's called Schoolgirl Report, but it's got a number on top of it, so I'm not able to read it. But anyway, welcome back to the show, and you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR and 6 AM Van City Radio. And Emmy Rogers and I were just talking about a few things, Facebook and just dating and things like that. But one of the things that we do need to talk about, because we're just going to pop in about a PSA here, because both of us are actually going to be auctioned off for charity on Monday.
Yeah, Crime Pays is what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's on, you can find information about, we'll both tweet where the information is that you can find online later tonight. If you're on your computers right now, I know it's on shebeen.com. That's SHEBEEN.com, and there's information there about Crime Pays, and it looks like it's going to be a fantastic fundraiser. It's happening at the Police Museum on Monday night,
which is really cool. Crime Pays, and the proceeds to it are actually going to Federation of BC Writers, and Rain Coaster, one of our favorite bloggers, actually is putting that on. And it's pretty hot, actually, because besides the beautiful Emmy Rogers, there's also going to be myself, and some of the city's sexiest bachelors and bachelorettes are going to be putting themselves on the chopping block for literacy, which I think is pretty hot for the Federation. And also the Juice Box Girls, which myself, because I'm a former Juice Box Girls, and the saucy Julia Saunders will be on the block as well. We're going to be sold as a threesome, since Julia's going to be having a baby in the next 6 weeks. There's also going to be some fun stuff like a poetry brothel, so you can pay a performer to do poetry for you, which I think is kind of hot and kind of sexy. There's going to be all sorts of different things. things. And for more information, as Emmy was saying, that you can check out our tweets at Emmy Rogers or at Sexy in Van City, which would be pretty fun.
And I'm just begging here, people, please bid on me because I'm not going to be there that night because I'm out of the province and I'm begging right now. Somebody bid on me, hopefully for more than $10.
I hope so too. And I've been through that experience, and that was even sadder actually because it was at a burlesque performance where I was one of the Juice Box Girls and came out, and somebody only bid $10 on me. I was kind of heartbroken actually. So hopefully this will be better than that because we want to raise lots of money for a really worthy organization. So before the break, we were talking in terms of adding somebody on Facebook and what is safe and what's not safe and how long you should wait before you add them onto Facebook. And one of the things I wanted to touch on too, because just to wrap up the Facebook segment, is being careful about jealousy. Because jealousy is a really big one when you can see what they're writing on their wall. And Emmy, you touched on this right before the break in terms of that, but as well, especially after a breakup. I usually recommend myself, it depends on the situation, but usually out of sight, out of mind for a little bit so each person has a chance to heal. And then there's a possibility of a friendship, which Emmy's smiling because she never listens to my advice. But with that, just because on Facebook, before Emmy tells her tale, with that, you can see their tweets, you can see their status, you can see when they start dating somebody else. You can also see your status change when it's like, no longer in a relationship. Because it pops up on the feed when you sign in, where it will say something like, Carolyn McGillivray is no longer single. Carolyn McGillivray is no longer in a relationship. Carolyn McGillivray is no longer listed in a relationship as complicated or whatever.
Well, these are all part of the reasons why I'm just not a huge fan of that space these days. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for myself, too, I personally think it's a little bit high schoolish to be putting up what your relationship status is on Facebook, especially when it changes. And I see that, just as Carolyn said, is it a relationship or not a relationship? I personally don't want that going out there to the world about me. If I want to tell them, I'll tell them. If I don't want to tell them, I won't tell them.
Other things that are really important is just watching what type of photos you take with somebody. I know your mother probably told you this a long time ago. Your friends probably told you, your sex educator came to the school. Be careful having naked photos with somebody. It can be a lot of fun at the time, but be careful, especially if your ex decides to pop them out in vengeance and decides to pop that up and tags you in it, and all of a sudden you've got these naked photos of yourself in Facebook. You can protect yourself in terms of your privacy, where you might, it won't show up on your friend list, but it will show up on his, where all these nude photos, just being really careful. Be careful how much access you give them to your wall as well, because they can write really nasty things. And I've heard horror stories from some of our girlfriends in that regard.
Yeah, and I don't know if we have, any younger viewers out there, but I mean, what Carolyn touched on with posts, being careful about taking photos and videos and stuff with your partners. I can't emphasize that point enough, just because of the fact that we're now living in a day and age where you can spread stuff over the internet in a matter of moments. Mm-hmm. And things like naked photos and things like that will just spread virally really quickly. And so while it might be fun, it might be experimental and things in the moment, I personally wouldn't do it.
And it's dangerous, actually. It's actually called sexting, which is the act of sending naked or nude or partially nude photos of yourself through text, which is kind of scary. So even through the phone, because most kids have phones these days, 20% of teens actually admit to participating in sexting, according to a national survey by the National Campaign to Support Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy, which is pretty scary. But not only that, sexting can also lead, depending which state or which province, to serious legal repercussions. Right now, there's six Pennsylvanian teens between the ages of 14 to 17 that are now facing child pornography charges as they were caught sexting each other. So if you are going to do that, you shouldn't be doing it when you're when you're, you know, basically below the age of consent, number one, it's just not safe because, as Emmy said, it can just be reduplicated. I mean, you even have to just join Twitter. And for those of you out there who don't know what Twitter is, I always like to think of it as a networking tool where it's kind of a cross between MSN and your Facebook status, basically. And with that, you can send tweet pics.
I'd like to think it's more sophisticated than both of those, personally.
Okay.
But it's kind of a hard one to describe to people initially. But you are essentially doing what Carolyn just mentioned. However, it is a more sophisticated space.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was about to say, you know, you can send photos, which are called tweet pics, on there. You can send blips if you're on Blip FM as well, which is sending music over there. And I just completely lost my train of thought, so I'll pass that back over to Carolyn.
That's okay. In terms of sending sexy texts or even sending tweets and things like that, just be careful because you can have a lot of fun where you can flirt with somebody on Twitter. Be careful what you say, because if you leave somebody's name in there, not just their Twitter name, but their actual name, if you Google them, that will pop up. So just be really, really careful what you say, number one. Number two, if you are deciding to do sexting or texting as an adult and you've chosen to do this, and you're aware of the repercussions with that, just be really careful. Perhaps don't put your face in there. I think it could be used in the right way. If you're and you want to have some fun with that, it could be quite entertaining. But with that, make sure you've got the right phone number if you're going to be texting or sexting somebody. Be careful if they've got an iPhone, because a text message usually pops right up on the screen. So say your partner is in a business meeting or something like that. That could be kind of embarrassing. But I think if you're sending sexy messages, texts back and forth, it could be kind of hot, just as long as you have a date set, say, for that night, where it's just like, I can't wait to see you, or I can't wait to have you kiss me on my belly or something. That's a little bit more risque than that, obviously, but just sexy and having fun with that. That can really build anticipation, which, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship with somebody, sometimes that can be really fun, as long as you have a date set and you do deliver on the date. So in other words, not just saying it and then when they get home, it's like, oh honey, I'm too tired from the kids today, I'm not in the mood anymore. But you actually do that, and that goes for men and women, because sometimes women are the ones we want it to sometimes. So it's really, really important to deliver. Other things that can be really fun are doing things like creating a blog with your partner, where it's actually marked private, where each of you have a password, so you can actually go in and you can actually read your posts, but it's just for each other, where you can actually have it. It's kind of taken the concept of a journal, which I've actually had with different lovers in the past, which I've lived with, where you actually have the journal by the bed and you can write sexy thoughts and things like that, and things that you love about your partner, or things that you'd like them to do for you. So it's almost like a journal that you share together with thoughts of communication. And you can actually do that with a blog, because in that way, if they're having a really horrible day at work and they want to read what you've written, because maybe you've written something really sweet about them or something that just makes them feel really good, it just kind of perks their day up. So sometimes that's quite a nice tool as well to do. Other things, if you do decide to do the photos and stuff, instead of doing perhaps like completely nude photos, maybe do something a little bit more tasteful, like boudoir photos, or if they're nude photos that they're just classy, it's just not like your complete spread eagle or anything like that, just being really tasteful about what you're putting out there, and just really having a really solid bound of trust.
Well, and you just got to be so careful with who it is that you're trusting.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, it's one thing if you're in a married relationship, or, you know, your common law or something like that. But if it's an early on partner, I'd really be wary of that.
Definitely.
because it can spread so quickly. And when it does spread in those spaces, this was a point that I forgot earlier, is if you see somebody passing around photos like that, don't be a part of it. Just because, I mean, think if that were you, would you want those photos spread of you over the internet? And I think sometimes we take, you know, cause things are flying around so fast in that place, we forget about some of the ethics of it, and we forget of
technical challenge there.
Well, what if that were you? So just always be aware of that.
Definitely. It's really important. There's all sorts of other things that you can do in terms of things like Twitter. Emmy and I are going to have to do a tweet up. There was a study that came out recently in regards to Facebook that they say that we're spending too much time on Facebook and online and not enough time in face-to-face. And there's a lot of cyber addiction that's going out there. But Emmy and I are going to definitely be putting together our own tweet up, which will be a little bit sexier and quite fun, actually. So you're going to have to stay tuned for that, definitely.
Yeah, we were having beers earlier, and we were meeting to actually plan what day and where. And I'm not quite sure where in the beer that was completely forgotten. So you will have to watch our tweets, and we'll post a sexy tweet up.
Definitely, because it's one of those things that, in terms of that study, I was thinking about that when that came out, about not enough face-to-face time. And Twitter's got its own kind of community. There's tweet ups all through Vancouver, and I think it's nice. It can be, as long as people actually start going to them and actually start to meet other people, but not forgetting about their own friends and family. And I think that's where cyber addiction comes into play. Pornography addiction is one of the fastest rising addictions, which is pretty heartbreaking. But there's also just regular computer addiction too, where you could be having an emotional cheat. I've had several friends who've actually left their husbands because they found an ex-boyfriend on Facebook or through Twitter, where they've started flirting with somebody through that and then eventually decided to meet them in person. And it can be heartbreaking. Again, it comes down to, what are they not getting at home? And, you know, is that fixable?
And I guess one of the things that I warn here is that every single flirt that you see online doesn't necessarily mean anything. I'm an enormous flirt online.
Yes, you are.
I'll flirt with women and men. Just because I'm an enormous flirt online, that doesn't mean that I'm trying to steal your boyfriend or your girlfriend, for that matter.
Some of them might like you to do that, though.
I flirt because it makes people feel better about themselves, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy being flirted with. But that doesn't mean that whoever I'm dating, I'm going to be cheating on or anything like that, because I'm not that girl. I'm not the girl that'll steal somebody else's man, and I'm not the girl that'll go cheat on my own fellow. So that's just something to be aware of, is that, you know, you have to remember to be mature adults when you're out there and in those spaces, and not freak out just because somebody else is chatting with the person that you're with. You need to, I think the basis to any relationship, trust. The most important thing is, as Caroline just said, is trust. And if you don't trust that person, then you've already got a major problem.
And it's not to say that there isn't cheating that does happen online. Sometimes it's just emotional. Other times on dating sites, there are married men and women who go on there because they're lonely. They feel they're lacking something in their relationship. And instead of actually turning inward and seeing, how can we fix things? Is this possible to fix things? And looking there, because of self-esteem, because they like to flirt and things. And that's sometimes where it starts. They go online and they'll flirt with somebody like you and me, who's absolutely amazing and wonderful. And sometimes they might just take it a little bit more seriously than you'd like them to, perhaps. It's a stalker thing. And I wanted to bring one more point up as well. One of the things you talked about in the first half was the fact that sometimes with the online dating, it gets challenging, because a lot of the men that you meet are people that you meet through work environment. And actually, according to MSN.com, they did a study, and I believe it was in 2006. I'll have to double check my stats, but just one of the number one reasons people have started dating online is because of the sexual harassment suits that are happening at work. So now they start meeting online. We're also working longer hours, so it's really, really important to us to still have that human contact. But I think the big thing is taking it offline and actually getting it into real life.
Yeah, and I mean, I have mixed feelings on that. I know that's one of the wonderful things for me about Twitter, is simply the fact is it gives me this online community that I can be in contact and socializing with during the day, because I work from home, I work on my own, and I'm a writer, and so I'm working in my own space. And so that gives me a community that I can be in contact with, which I think is really, really important. And it means that I don't get my, antsy, I've talked to the cat for 10 hours, and anybody who phones gets this desperation of of me on the other end, because it means I am in contact with people.
That's
but
true.
You do need to have...
boundaries?
Well, you need to have boundaries there, and you need to have personally for myself, I need to have a social network outside of that computer world.
Definitely.
I love my friends in the computer world, but I do need to have that world outside. I need to turn off my computer. I do not carry my tweets on my iPhone, because I like to escape. When I go for a walk and when I'm hanging out with friends in real time, I want to just be concentrating on them and not responding to my tweets all the time. And for me, that's a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. But I also do, and when we're talking about tweet ups and stuff like that, I mean, online is a wonderful place to meet people. And I've met some really lovely people in my life there. And I completely agree with Caroline. It's nice to, also have those people as real people in your life too. A couple of my best friends, Raul and Tris, and Lorraine, who we're helping out with Crime Pays. Those are all people that we've both met online.
I actually met Tris in person, but it was at it was at one of the online events. But yes. Yeah. And in regards to all of that, I hope we see everybody at Crime Pays on Monday. I wish you were going to be there, Emmy, but...
Yeah, I wish I was going to be there, too. Actually, on that note, too, one of the people who I've also met recently, who's actually been really good for me in that sense, in terms of talking about relationships and stuff like that, and working through a lot of the stuff that we were talking about today, is Jennifer Priest. And she's been having a pretty powerful impact on my life as of late, just... sort of been working with me as a life coach and on some of those things, because as a writer I do get into my own little space and reminding me about the outside world and how to work through some of these things with somebody I can talk to about them.
I think that's really good. One thing I just wanted to say before we wrap the show is just in regards to online addiction. We are spending more and more time online. If you feel that you've got somebody in your life that is spending way too much time online and is using that almost as a crutch to avoid you, or you're finding you are avoiding people and spending more time online, you might want to check out netaddiction.com and take the questionnaire on there just to see if you might have a tendency towards addiction for that. Emmy Rogers, thank you so much for being on your show, and I can't wait to read your blog. I've read a few of them recently, which is quite cool, emmyrogers.com.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me here today, and I'm so happy to see that you've got the new Sexy in Van radio show, and that you and Kidden are partnering up to do some multi-platform media. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. Well, I'll have to have you on there, so it's I definitely want to have you back on the show. That'd be very great. Up next is Han Claus's Misery Hour. He is a... Pardon me?
That's fun.
Has one clause.
Yeah.
He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And I am in love with his shoes. We all know I like my shoegasms. And Emmy, you have to take a look at these shoes. They're pretty fucking hot.
Just generic.
Oh, they are. Well, mind you, I'm the girl who likes the comfortable fitting shoes, and I don't think his shoes look all that comfortable to me. Yeah. Oh, are they? Oh, that's good to know.
And on that note, we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, and we are looking forward to seeing you next week. Write to us at kitten@sexyvancity.com about whatever you want to hear on the show. Thanks for listening.